This is Pure Decking for January 31st, 1976, the show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Syntax and the Desperate One and Mad Men. What's up, guys?
How are you?
Hello.
And now that we've done the obligatory intro, I have no station news at the moment, so we're going to go straight into current events. And Mad Men's actually reading the show notes, and I... looks like he's about to explode at some of this stuff. So.
Yeah, among other things, why would an EU document be signed in Japan? They're not part of the EU.
Well, they got nuked, so they felt kind of bad about it, so they had to give them something.
We can all shun the slanty eyes if we want to.
My question is...
Madman, we haven't started the blatant racism yet. Don't worry, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Why is the U.S. going to sign an EU document? We're not part of the fucking EU.
Actually, we've already signed it.
The reason we're going to sign it is they couldn't get SOPA through Congress. This is called a workaround.
Or a reach-around, something. Why don't we go ahead and go into the story here? I got it from Mashable, but it's all over the place. Most member states of the European Union have signed the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, ACTA, at a ceremony in Tokyo, Japan on Thursday, January 26. ACTA is a global treaty that aims to normalize copyright protection and IP standards. It's similar to SOPA and PIPA, proposed U.S. laws which have recently been dropped after massive internet protests, but in many ways is more dangerous. And what they're not talking about here is the fact that ACTA is everywhere, and it's a treaty, it's not law, so they can kind of back-end it in and get some of this stuff in. Unfortunately, ACTA has been signed by many states without a wide, open public discussion. Australia, Canada, Japan, South Korea, Morocco, New Zealand, Singapore, and the United States signed ACTA on October the 1st, 2011. As of yesterday, they are joined by Austria, Belgium. I almost pissed off. Are you there? Austria, Belgium, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, Denmark, Finland, France, Greece, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, and the UK. Finally, according to a statement by Japan's Foreign Ministry of Affairs, the EU states that did not sign ACTA yet are expected to do so on the completion of respective domestic procedures. In other words, we're going to go break some legs.
Right now? Okay.
So, yeah.
Has this gone anywhere in the Senate yet? Because I know the Senate still has to ratify any treaty that we sign.
No. There are all kinds of calls for them not to ratify it, but we've signed it.
Yeah, but so long as we don't ratify it, then it doesn't matter what we sign.
Isn't that what we did to the Kyoto stuff? They signed it, and then we said, screw that shit.
The Kyoto's was when Bush was in office.
I thought that was a Clinton thing.
If it's a Clinton thing, then we probably signed it and then said, fuck off. But if it got held off until Bush was in office his first term, he kind of told all global warming crap he said was crap his first term.
That's true.
It wasn't until second term that he started being a wimpy little bastard with no balls.
Yeah. Now, ACTA was a big deal early last year. It was going around because it was all in secret. And, there was a WikiLeaks release where they had parts of it and... you know, people didn't know what was in it, and then when they saw it had all the three strikes stuff in it, that was a big deal. But, they've been keeping it really, really quiet, and, you know, everyone went nuts on SOPA and PIPA, so I almost wonder if SOPA and PIPA were the distraction and ACTA is the thing they really want done. So
could be. Now, see, my question is, how many of these fucking countries are actually EU members? I didn't think Ireland was.
Ireland's not. It's
Malta, yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. They signed it.
Isn't Malta the size of a postage stamp with two people in it?
Yeah, I think so, but they still signed the damn treaty.
Oh.
I'm reading a list.
Fuck it. Let's take over Malta. Let's just invade fucking Malta. We could do it, the four of us.
Yeah, probably.
Probably, but we already have goats in Kentucky. Why would we invade another country just to get goats? I think their entire economy is a goat herd and a porno shop. I mean, they might have some decent stuff in that shop. I've never been there.
Yeah. So Malta and Luxembourg, the four of us could take over. You know, you guys go after Malta. me and the desperate one will take over Luxembourg.
Galaxy 15, we'll the country.
Luxembourg yes. actually has decent beer, so save me some. I'll bring the mutton. Y'all have already secured the beer. Lobby good.
There we go.
We will be fucking on it.
Planning the robot uprising. One country signing stupid treaties at a time.
Yeah. So Luxembourg and Malta, because I know we have a huge, you know, listener base in both Luxembourg and Malta.
Yeah, it's the goats listening.
Yeah. Oh, and Latvia. Oh God, fuck.
Ooh, we can get Dr. Doom.
We could take over all three of those. You know, the four of us. So you guys have been fucking warned. We're coming.
And what's that? What's the size of Tennessee? All three of those?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it's
yeah.
But anyways, back on point here. ACTA is a bad idea because essentially they're taking a lot of the same, you know. Well, they're limiting free speech to try to combat copyright. They're going about it all the wrong way, and that's not what copyright was actually supposed to do. So at this point, I think they're just trying to claim they own everything that's creative. It's like, oh, that's creative content? Yeah, we own that.
Well, of course. But the only thing is, okay.
They still haven't published the full text of ACTA, to my knowledge. That's the scary part. They still haven't published the whole damn thing. We're going on WikiLeaks leaks that are just parts of it.
Yeah. Well, okay. This is...
The look on Madman's face is awesome when I just said that.
I'm just thinking, before it can even be brought up in the Senate, don't we have to know what the hell we're signing?
No. Fuck no.
Apparently not. Did you see our healthcare bill?
That was the House that voted on it before it was written. Just because they're breaking the law doesn't mean the Senate will.
Did they even vote on it? I thought they just deemed it passed.
Senators don't give a shit what they fucking sign.
True.
But
I would just like the pretense of reading it. Try to pacify me some. Wait 3 hours after you get the 12,000-page bill before you vote on it.
Lunacy. Absolute lunacy. Read a bill before you sign it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now, this is my only thing with ACTA. Okay.
I need a gong.
You do. Who's going to enforce it?
Apparently my understanding of the way ACTA is supposed to work is ACTA itself is not enforceable. Instead, it directs the countries that sign it to pass bills such as, say, SOPA and PIPA. They're required to pass them, actually, to meet the requirements of ACTA. It's stipulating that you will pass a law that does X, Y, and Z.
Well, it's kind of the way we got the U.S. Park Service. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows the federal government to set up the Park Service, so we signed a treaty with England involving a migratory goose that flies between here and Canada, and that gave Roosevelt the authority needed to set up the National Park Service. They're all goose refuges for this one bird.
Awesome.
Pure decking, hacking, and history lessons on Galaxy 15 Radio.
Well,
okay.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just that's very different than what we usually do on G50.
Yeah. This is what's going to happen. We're going to sign it. We're going to look at us. We signed this treaty. We are treaty signers. And because no one fucking read it, they're going to set it down and go, look, we have a fucking treaty. And nothing's going to get fucking done.
Well, I wouldn't mind that. I think we need more of nothing getting done in our government, but that's just me.
Yeah. Exactly what the fuck is South Korea going to do? They're more worried about – and Morocco, really? Morocco has fucking – still has roving bands of wasteland raiders running around.
Are we going to go like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome here? Because that would rock. I want to take a vacation to Morocco now.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Okay. I know, a little off point. Sorry, I'm hijacking the show. During the Dakar rally, you know, with the big trucks and the motorcycles and all that goes across the fucking Sahara, they tell you in the briefing before the race, if you crash somewhere, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a little crash and you just have to pick up your bike, hit your GPS locate, your emergency GPS transponder. Because a lot of times, just out of your sight, are roving bands of raiders that will swoop in,
oh my God,
kill you, to steal not only your bike or car or truck or whatever, but then they'll leave it there and they'll like flip it over, leave it there and wait for your support team to come rolling up so they can kill them and take all their shit as well.
After now, the real game.
Exactly. They run around with fucking AKs shooting at the participants of the Dakar rally just so they might be able to get some titanium bits that they can sell on eBay or whatever.
Wow. That's actually really dark.
It is.
Please say there's like a huge purge for this race because this thing should be televised in the U.S.
It is televised in the U.S.
Why the hell haven't I watched this?
I don't know. Because
they edit out the good bits.
They do. They actually edit out people getting shot, but there are usually a couple of teams that just go away.
They just disappear.
This is like the Hunger Games, modern times.
Yeah.
I want to get the unedited version of this now. I'm a horrible human being.
Hang on. It is the most dangerous race in the world.
I'm extraordinarily intrigued by this. We're going to have to look this up now.
Yeah, and not just because there are roving bands of raiders.
No, that's exactly why we're going to have to look this up. I want to see on a Google map the participants as little dots and the roving bands as raiders as other dots, and I want television crews with both teams because this is no longer, you know, racing against, you know, the other racers. It's this team racers versus team raiders, and we've got the greatest reality show you've ever seen.
Fuck yes.
This could be something worth watching on MTV.
Yeah. Well, see, and half of the support teams like have armed security.
Even better.
Yeah, they have armed security because
what was the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he was on the game show that was killing people?
Blade Runner? No, wait.
No, that was a Harrison Ford.
Running Man.
Running Man.
Was it Running Man?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking here, but with more motorcycles and, you know, Middle Eastern raiders and the occasional cluster bomb going off.
And all this just because I brought up a treaty about geese.
Yes.
Welcome to Galaxy 15.
This is why you don't do history on your show.
No, I quite like it. We're going to keep this up. So
yeah.
So we've got Professor of History Madman here. And Rocket snailing away from the other story because we've been on that one for a while, which I'm not complaining about. But next up here, I've got – this is actually from Tech Dirt. I don't give two flying fucks about what Tech Dirt wrote about this. I just wanted the quote. The Hollywood Reporter's version of the postmodem is a good read, even though blah, 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 blah. Where's the part I wanted? The still really stunning part is the quote from Michael O'Leary, the MPAA's number two guy, who makes the most tone-deaf statement. Yeah, okay. That's all the Tech Dirt stuff, but I needed to get that because of the guy's name and who he is. He's number two at MPAA. The MPAA.
It's Michael O'Leary. Spelled MICHAEL, capital O, apostrophe, capital LEARY.
So if anyone wants to Google dork this guy and then make his life hell,
go for it.
We support that.
We salute you. Now,
we do.
Here's the actual. Okay. The MPAA's O'Leary concedes that the industry was outmanned and outgunned in cyberspace. He says the MPAA is, and this is quote, is undergoing a process of education, a process of getting a much, much greater presence in the online environment. It was a fight on a platform that we are not at this point comfortable with, and we were going up against an opponent that already controls that platform.
Why, yes, we do.
That's the internet. No one really is supposed to control it. It's the world's largest experiment in controlled anarchy.
Yeah, see, he doesn't understand that. He thinks, wait, what? The internet and somebody's not controlling it? We're not comfortable with that. No, we have to control it. I mean, that's what they're trying to do.
It's free speech at its most horrible and most wonderful.
Welcome to 4chan.
Yes.
I mean, we have people in China trying to revolutionize their government with, I don't know, knowledge.
Imagine that shit.
That's what the internet brings. In the United States, it brings me porn.
Well,
we use the horrible parts of it. The rest of the world are trying to actually do something good with it. And no, they're trying to neuter all of them.
They want the porn, too. But,
yeah, they want the porn. But see, until they can get the government to go, okay, you can have the porn, they're going to use that knowledge to try and change their government. It really is all for porn.
We are going to revolutionize our government with porn. Well, actually, thinking of our government, I'm pretty sure most of the people who work in our government already get all of the hookers and blow they want. So I don't know what good porn would do us. Maybe, you know, maybe some of those more uptight countries. But yeah, the thing that's breathtaking with this quote is that the MPAA is admitting they're not comfortable with the internet, and they feel that they are outgunned on it.
I don't see how that's... They're really bringing down every other country to try to police it. How the hell can they have more guns?
Yeah, that's what I don't get. It's like, well, we don't understand this. We're going to government and getting them to shut that shit right down. I mean, that's it. That's exactly what it is we don't like this. No. We don't understand this. Shut that down. I mean, that's what it is.
My favorite part of this is a fight on a platform we're not at this point comfortable with, and we're going up against an opponent that controls this platform.
In other words, we don't control it.
Yeah, and otherwise, read a book.
But no one really is supposed to control it. That was the idea of the internet.
Well, you see, you're making logical sense here, and we're talking about the MPAA. They don't care about logic. They just feel they're supposed to own everything.
Their opponents don't even control the internet. They just use the internet.
Well, that's what
better than they do.
They don't get it. They do not understand the concept of no one controls it. A lot of them think like, oh, Google and Facebook control the internet. No, they control portions of what we would call the internet. They're actually services.
I've been getting around Google because all day it may or may not show up on my computer. You just type in a little URL in that box. Wow, Google no longer controls where I go.
Are you using Firefox or Chrome? Because if you're using Chrome...
I'm using Firefox. I know if I'm using Chrome, then technically Google is still controlling where I go because they're processing that little number I type in.
Yeah, I mean, I use Chrome some too, but I'm seriously going to be moving away from that and actually probably switching my defaults over to DuckDuckGo.
To what?
Wait, why?
You all haven't seen Google's new privacy? And yeah, sometime pull up your Google account and go to google.com/dashboard.
Okay.
It shows everything they know about you. And wow, some of them are really accurate.
Really?
Yeah.
I think all they know about me is my email address. I don't do social networks.
No, this is...
Is it going to say that...
It's tracking
you
through the ads.
You know, is it going to go, okay, well, you like kinky sex and video games and computers and regular sex.
And it'll also tell you what it thinks your age range is and what your gender is. Mine was really, really spot on. But I know...
I want to pull this up and look at it now.
Yeah, it's... you know, and I don't even have it in the show notes. It was... I had an awesome link at work on the wrong machine. I didn't save it. But yeah, if you just go to the Google dashboard, it's... sign into a Google account, go to dashboard. And it shows you everything they know about you. And it's a lot. So I'm probably going to start transitioning away from Google services because they are collecting a lot of information. I didn't even have this in the show notes. I wasn't planning on talking about it because I don't have a good enough handle on it yet myself to really make a good... I was saving this for Thursday.
So we'll just do a follow-up story on Thursday where we're knowledgeable about the information mining Google's doing.
Oh, there's a lot of information out there about it, and if you want to spend about 3 minutes on Google, you can figure it out.
I love that. At least they're going to be honest about how they're trying to control our lives.
Oh, yeah, no, they're flat-up honest with it. It all started because they're trying to unify their privacy policy, and a bunch of people on some mailing lists I follow just flipped the fuck out. And at first they were saying, oh, you can't opt out of it. You actually can. There's a page you can go to control that. But it's per machine.
It says I'm 4.
Really?
No.
Okay.
That would be cool if they were that far off.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're getting messages on the G15 account, which makes very little sense. They want to come on the show. They're not even listening to the show, unless it just hasn't showed on my dashboard. Do we have listeners?
I want to troll Google.
Oh, my Jesus. Google. Wow. Yeah. No. Fuck. They're holy fuck. Really?
Are they just that close? Now I got to sign into my Gmail account.
What are you saying?
I'm gonna stop using.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of it is, but it's. I didn't know that they were keeping it all. Like, it knows what motorcycle I race.
Most recent image.
Wow, that's
no, I haven't searched that in a million years.
I've got somebody messaging me on the G15 account. They want on the show, and it's just like, guys, I'm sorry, not this one. It's,
is it someone we know?
Nope, wait, I have no idea who that is.
Who is it?
I'm not gonna be that. I'm not gonna be an ass and say it on the air.
Okay.
I'll tell you guys off the show. But
can we just like bring them on and then just berate them until they leave?
No,
probably not.
No, this is not a this isn't the call-in show. RU is doing the call-in show.
Oh yeah, okay. No, okay, and I'm not that big of an ass, really. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know who they are. Sorry, not this show, man. Maybe some of the others, but yeah, sorry about that. Anyways,
Listener guy that wants to be in on the show. I might be doing a call-in show coming up here real soon, so stay tuned, and it'll be awesome.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I'm not sure they're actually listening because I just checked the stream and it says, you know, very low listener count. So it's like, well, do you even know what the show is? Yeah. It's like, no, we just went on. Sorry. Maybe one of the others. Actually, show them this.
Show notes. Okay.
Somebody else talk while I'm typing to this guy. So we don't have.
Okay. I don't. Fuck. What even were we talking about? Oh yeah, stupid MPAA guy. No, fuck that guy. Google knows way too much about me. Like far, far too much about me. It knows where I shopped. It knows what I look up on the YouTube.
Oh god! I just killed your show notes. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you can bring those back up. Anyways, yeah, moving on. You might want to look into the Tails live CD. Just a thought. next story up we got here is this is from Alternet. This is funny. The U.S. Domestic Law Enforcement Agency is asking information technology contractors about the feasibility of building a tool that would enhance its techniques for collecting and sharing open source actionable intelligence. The January 19th open request was published on a website offering federal business opportunities and was first reported by a New Scientist. The FBI...
Wait, hold on, hold on.
What?
Hands up. What the fuck is open source intelligence?
That would be Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, your Google searches.
That's pretty much what Google's doing. They want Google to post all that crap to them before they release it publicly.
The FBI said it is seeking an open source and social media alert mapping and analysis application solution for its Strategic Information and Operations Center. Social media has become a primary source of intelligence. We had the story a couple of weeks back, a couple of weeks back about the FBI monitoring Twitter and Facebook because it has become the premier first response to key events and primal alert possible developing situations. Intelligence analysts will often use social media to receive the first tip-off that a crisis has occurred. In other words, they're watching Twitter. The FBI said that they must have the ability to rapidly assemble critical open-source information. I love how they keep saying open-source, not realizing there's an entire thing around that. And intelligence that will allow the SOIC to quickly vet, identify, and geolocate breaking events, incidents, and emerging threats. They want something right out of the movies.
Okay. So this is what we do.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
They're going to use that to also manipulate social media. I see that coming.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they already are. It would need to be able to instantly search and monitor keywords and strings in all publicly available tweets across the Twitter site and any other publicly available social networking and forums. It would also need the ability to search the data across a myriad of parameters and view terrorist activities by location, terrorist group, type of attack, trend, and analytics. In addition, it would have to be able to immediately translate into English tweets and any other open forum publicly available social media captured in a foreign language. Interested parties have until February 10th to respond to the FBI request.
Okay, so because they're too dumb to hire someone that can speak a different language, they would just rather shit get lost in translation.
They want Babblefish networked through Twitter is what I
yeah, that's what they want. They want a tool watching the Twitter and the Facebook APIs and any other forum. They specifically mention forums. So I'm guessing that probably means they probably want WordPress, Blogger, just pretty much everywhere on the internet that's easy to scrape information from.
4chan.
4chan. Well, you know, 4chan would be interesting because I don't know how you would actually track that, because isn't everything on 4chan, I mean, even if you put a name to it, it's still, I mean, it's ethereal. There's no accounts. There's no,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you would actually track on there.
Well, they would just track the posts and
by IP, I guess.
Well, no. They don't even have to trace who it's coming from, because I really doubt they give a fuck who it's coming from at the start. They just want to know what's happening right now, because they're too fucking stupid to, I don't know, monitor their own call centers. I don't know. Okay. But, yeah, so you're going to get a shitload of B-tards that are going to be like, okay, do it now. Oh, my God, a bomb blew up. Ah! And then you have the FBI fucking freaking right the fuck out and running over to some place where, I don't know, there's a Tea Party rally or a anti-abortion rally or something fucking like that, that all of a sudden, you know, you have the entirety of the FBI SWAT, you know, Homeland Security fucking tanks and airplanes and shit, you know, DHS fucking, oh geez, fucking paratroopering in, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a bunch of high-rolling evangelical Christians saying that you shouldn't kill your baby.
I could see that as one of the greatest trolling opportunities ever.
Yeah, it'd be fucking great. All you have to do is get enough people to get behind you, and you can do it.
Didn't the Obama White House try to do something like this with monitoring social networks already, and Anonymous just kind of bombed the company that was developing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be H.B. Gary. And yeah, not only did Anonymous bomb it, that company is no longer in business.
So the FBI is kind of asking for a company to commit suicide. we're already in a job recession here. We shouldn't really be asking any corporation, regardless of whatever they're supposed to be doing, to just cut their own throats at this point, because I want a job.
Yeah.
And I think this is either the greatest opportunity for a startup because they have nothing to lose, or whoever volunteers just gets shot by 4chan.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Or that, or the damn source code leaks and then they're doing nothing but trolling the FBI.
Oh, God. Oh,
they're already
so going to
be trolling
too.
The FBI as soon as this goes up. They,
yeah.
You just have to do 1,000 Twitter posts. We can do a bot that does that.
Yes,
yeah,
easily. It's called Python.
yeah, well, see, and not only that, see, what you have to do is it has to be kind of distributed, so it's coming from a bunch of different accounts, cool. And not just on Twitter, but the Twitter and the Facebook and all the
actually,
other...
Actually, oh, wait a minute. That's the tool that H.B. Gary was supposed to be making.
Yeah.
Was the tool that went in and managed all these social network accounts so they could control trends on social networking.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then the FBI's making a tool just to read what the White House is putting out. It's this whole secular loop, and we have to get in this just to troll both parties.
Oh, the fun that would be had there. Because, oh, Jesus fuck, could you imagine the Homeland Security and FBI and all of those guys just straight up flipping right the fuck out because they think that there's a sea monster in the subway in Los Angeles?
I just want to try to get Snooki deported to anywhere. If this ever comes up, that's going to be my entire goal when I'm trolling it, is I want to get the entire cast of Jersey Shore shot. They're going to be like the biggest Al-Qaeda cell ever if this comes up.
Oh my god, they're so well funded.
I can't.
Oh no, see, it would get even better because they're under contract by what, MTV?
Oh no.
Which then makes, you know, which MTV is owned by Viacom, which is owned by, I think, NBC, which is owned by GE. GE is funding terrorism.
We're going to just lock the entire senior staff up for, I don't know, in Guantanamo for terrorists. That'd be great. Yes.
God.
This will end well.
It could.
I mean, that would almost be the perfect solution to my boredom.
Yeah. That is an epic win waiting to happen.
Okay. Now that we're done trolling the FBI, this next story, this is old. This is this guy's personal site. It's from trillion.mit.edu. It's, you know, his personal stuff. He has documented AT&T took the time to copyright effectively 3 blank lines.
What?
Yes.
AT&T copyrighted nothing. That's what you just told me.
Yes.
So if I have an open Word document that I haven't typed in yet, am I committing copyright infringement?
Yes.
No. No, no, no. You have to hit the return key 3 times, so it's 3 blank lines.
Well, reading from his slug line here, one of the fun examples among all the copyright fuss is an extreme example of copyright claims made by AT&T sometime during the 1980s. It's the /bin/true program. This is a dummy library program whose main function is to make it easy to write infinite loops, like a while true do in shell scripts. The true program does nothing. It exits with a zero status, which in a shell script basically means successful, true. That's in Unix and Linux environments, when your command works successfully, generally it doesn't output anything. It just, you know, goes to the next line. It only outputs something if there's an error. So it returns 0, which is true for your shell script, so you can make, you know, while true. And it's done with an empty file that's marked executable, and that's an early, you know, that's a shell script, right? It's just an empty file that's marked executable. And when it's ran as a shell script, it does nothing and is interpreted as true and exits with zero status. AT&T's lawyers decided this was worthy of copyright protection. So if you go into the old versions of Unix and Linux, and not Linux, Linux did something different, but the old versions of Unix and pull up that shell script, it's got an AT&T copyright notice in it.
That's fucking awesome.
So it's an empty file with an AT&T copyright notice.
That is fucking epic.
And he's got this, I mean, I'm not going to go through it, but I've got the link. You get the link in the show notes. He's got this full write-up. And how this has been carried forward, and like it was in Solaris, because Solaris was a Unix port, so they copied a lot of AT&T's code, and it even goes into at the end the GNU project wrote a binary, which is actually faster because you're not calling Bash again from a Bash script, to return true, and put a had to put copyright on that.
That's fucking awesome. So if you just start running a million of these, oh, fuck, what the hell are they called? Whack bin, whack true programs.
Uh-huh.
Will you just start taking up tons of compute cycles?
It returns so quickly, you'd be hard-pressed to do it. Now, if you put some logic around that to keep calling them, you possibly could, but there are easier ways to hog down a system. I if you're going to do it on the command line, just do the freaking, I'm blanking on what it's called.
I'm just still tripping on
the bash bomb. It's a
Oh yeah.
There's a stack of papers in a copyright office somewhere that says AT&T owns nothing.
Well, it's technically the, you know, if you're thinking about it in terms of computer code, it's the three blank lines that are spaced in between its copyright notice, because it's supposed to be an empty file.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
I think Madman just blue screened.
I think we issue copyrights far too easily.
Matt Thompson.
Because if I can copyright nothing, because everything starts out as nothing.
At this point, I'm going to assume
that's a good fucking idea.
At this point, I'm going to assume everything is copyrighted and anything I do is copyright infringement. So, which means I don't have to care anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So
we just should never research anything before we try to copyright it. Just say this is a new idea and see if we get a copyright for it.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's I've read very serious blog posts that say never research anything ever before writing a program, because otherwise you will come across somebody who has patented a copyright and something that's similar to what you want to do. And if you've done that, you've got prior knowledge, and at that point, infringement is a much bigger deal. So it's better to just not do any research whatsoever. That way, if somebody calls you on it, you can claim you didn't know.
I don't know if you get copyright sex. I think that might be more of a patent thing.
Well, no. Okay, well, fine. I'm going to patent it. Then I can go after every fucking person that has a baby for copyright infringement.
And you can go after their parents.
Yeah. Ooh, God, I can go after both of them, the babies and the parents.
Because they had to have infringed. See, this person exists.
Yes. This is how we make money to take over Latvia.
Okay.
You can go with sex, and I'm just going to go with masturbation. I think there's more per capita infringements on that.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it is easier to prove sex.
I don't know. I'm thinking about a year after puberty, I'm just going to start suing everybody. It's like the average age of puberty is now this, so I'm going to tack on 1 year to that and just start filing lawsuits to everyone.
Nice.
Everyone's 18 years of age or older.
Oh, God, that's a late bloomer.
Well, I don't think you can sue someone who's under the age of 18.
Oh, fair point.
You can sue their parents. Oh, God, yeah, there we go.
It's like, I want to sue you, your parents, for your child's masturbation.
Yeah.
Wow. We're going to go with an average of 3 times. Looking at you, yeah, 1 time a day. And
it's like everyone that has a functioning hand, I'm just going to sue.
Anyone who's ever bought a fleshlight.
Oh.
Oh, and then you could sue fleshlight. No.
If you're going to sue fleshlight, what you do is you simply copyright female anatomy.
Oh, that's a good fucking idea.
Yeah.
Not only that, then you copyright the penis.
Every dildo maker and banana farmer.
Yeah.
Okay, this is getting silly. Next story, Rocket Snail. Next story, this is from Torrent Freak. Mega Upload has we're back on Mega Upload because, my God, it won't go away. Mega Upload has received a letter from the U.S. attorney informing the company that the data uploaded by its users may be destroyed before the end of the week. The looming wipeout is a result of Mega Upload's lack of funds to pay for the servers. Behind the scenes, Mega Upload is hoping to convince the U.S. government that it's in the best interest of everyone involved to allow users to access their data, at least temporarily. Mega Upload's assets were frozen by the United States. Mega needs funds unfrozen to pay for bandwidth, hosting, and system administration in order to allow for consumers to get access to their data stored in the cloud and get back to the same for safekeeping.
Yeah, and I really want to finish watching NCIS, so they just need to unfreeze Mega Upload.
Well, what Mega Upload is saying is, if you guys don't let us get at some of our money, we're not going to be able to pay our hosting companies, and they're going to start deleting everyone's stuff, and that's not cool.
Hold up. Isn't that deleting evidence in a pending case?
Actually, I've got an update, and I'll get to you from that, because as I was researching the story, I noticed an update was posted to it. Mega Upload has contacted the U.S. Attorney's Office with a request to unfreeze assets, including money and domains, so users can access their personal data. If it doesn't happen, the consequences for many Mega Upload users and the future of other cloud hosting services will be disastrous. The argument they're making there is if you kill our cloud service, you're going to hurt the entire business of cloud service hosting in generally, because you're going to have everyone worried that the government's going to come in and seize the cloud hosting because somebody was using it for copyright infringement, which actually at this point is a valid fear. Mega Upload lawyer Ira Rothkin, okay,
that guy.
Yeah, it looked weird. Told Torrent Freak that after talks with various parties involved, that the data has been saved for at least 2 more weeks. So, in other words, in an update, they went back to it and they've worked something out for the next 2 weeks. They don't go into what it was, but this gives Mega Upload and the authorities some extra time to find a solution. Authorities have made some selective backups as evidence, but Mega Upload wants to let everyone get to their data. So, pretty much what's happening here is because they seized everything Mega Upload had, but obviously they didn't get all their servers because Mega Upload must have been renting servers everywhere to run their service. They can't afford to pay off the hosting companies they were renting from, and so the hosting companies are probably going to start shutting down their servers and deleting the data to reclaim the space because the account's gone defunct. And yeah, that's people's personal data. And you know, I don't even know about the whole evidence question. I thought of that too, but
ooh, okay. I remember reading an old it's an old law that had to do with the mail. Now it was forwarded over to email and some parts of data retention. This is like mid 80s, early stuff,
mm-hmm.
where this one porn guy actually got completely out. He was having people upload porn images to his servers. This guy didn't know what was being uploaded. Well, the federal government came in, seized all of his servers because they said he had child porn. Well, turns out he did, because people were fucking uploading it. He didn't know it was on there, but they got him anyways. His lawyer got him out of it. He got all of the electronic stuff thrown out because they interrupted his flow of email. Now, and they've deemed this as being illegal. The U.S. government has. There's a precedent set already. So if anyone was backing up their email on these servers, which there has to be, because people use fucking places like Mega Upload and stuff like that for the most stupid fucking shit. I wonder if that person can get that entire, because they had to leave the entire server alone. They actually threw everything out in court because they interrupted his access to his mail.
You know, it's a nice theory, but they're already disregarding so much pre-existing case law, actual case law, and international borders to shut down Mega Upload. I don't think they'll even care. They'll just disregard that and keep going with what they're doing.
I'm just seeing chain of evidence problems if they're letting parts of this die.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I thought they had seized most of Mega Upload servers. I guess it makes sense that they couldn't have, because it had to be so big. And of course they had to have, you know, geographically diverse server farms. But I didn't even think about this until I read the article that because they can't pay, because the government seized all their money, that their stuff's going to go away. So, and yeah, of course, there is no backup of this anywhere. How could you? So,
yeah,
I don't know.
People were using this for their backups.
Now, that's the thing, too. They said selective backups have been made for evidence reasons. Selective backups. That means you're altering the evidence. You're not considering in total. You're just grabbing bits and pieces.
Yeah, they're just finding anyone who was pirating and making that a backup, and everyone that was using it for a legal purpose, they're ignoring.
They're just trying
to stack the odds, yeah, against Mega Upload.
Well, of course, because that's what they do.
So, and, you know, I have no doubt that Mega Upload was willfully ignoring the laws, but the thing I don't get, if Mega Upload was incorporated in Taiwan, are they subject to the DMCA?
They shouldn't be.
So like I said, there's so many other things with this case that I don't think they even care about chain of evidence or even international borders at this point. I think they're just going after these guys.
Yeah. The only thing that would be subject to DMCA would be any servers on U.S. soil.
Well, there were some. They, you know, they're actually hosted in Virginia, of all places. But so they can go after him on those grounds. But again, you know, it's just so there's so much going on here. I don't know how they're going to actually prosecute some of it, unless it's all being sensationalized in the news. I'm just wondering if like this Kim.com guy is just going to end up suicided.
Do they have any offices or employees in the U.S.?
Yeah, they had some data centers in the U.S.
They could go after those.
Yeah.
But a big chunk of the corporation, anything that's offshore, they shouldn't have any
most of their staff was offshore.
Yeah, so they shouldn't be able to go after any of those people unless they were within the U.S. If they came to the U.S.,
well, like that guy from Britain who's getting extradited. I don't know how that's happening. Now, I'm not a lawyer, so maybe there's some crazy-ass treaty and law that I don't know about, but still. Yeah.
Well, the thing that I want to do, I want to set up a mega upload style site. Okay. But I want to host it on one of the offshore oil rigs.
Like in international waters?
Yes, exactly.
Actually, when we get to Digital Dojo, I might have something to help you with that.
Okay. But see, the plus with the offshore oil rigs is a lot of them, like a lot of the ones that were just barely in international waters, they would run fiber lines back basically to their home base on shore. Now, if you didn't want to do that, you could just get a whole trunk of major, you know, it's like, come get me, bitches. I'm my own fucking country.
The only problem with that solution is if you're in international waters and it's like, oh, okay, well, we're going to just come out here with the cruise ship we've outfitted with cannons and destroy you, because they actually can do that.
Well, see, that's why you have, you know, you have to set it up fairly good, you know. You have to have the big guns and the crush cannons and the, you know, sharks with lasers and shit like that.
I'm just going to go with, can we just dump it on the bottom of the ocean and be like, come after me? Good luck finding me.
Yeah, come at me. Yeah, and you wouldn't have to worry about cooling issues.
Water cooling. At its finest. Exactly. You'd have to worry about the ocean water eating through the casing of your servers, but I guess if you built them right. Anyways, well, the cable's got to go somewhere, so I don't know. They might give them a way to track it, but ooh, a lot of those sea lines end up buried under the set.
Yeah.
Really rough to... Anyways, moving on, time for our daily dose of blatant racism.
Me love you long time.
If anyone wants to make, you know, racist noises, now's the time to do it.
What? Wait a minute. I did one at the beginning of the show.
You did. Does it have to be Asian?
The segment's called Digital Dojo, so whatever fits.
I don't give a shit if it's Digital Dojo. If I want to, you know, make some Mexican joke, I think I should be able to.
Well, if you want to make a Mexican joke, you go right ahead.
Yeah, I can't think of any right now, so... Yeah, coming from the Mexican in the room.
You could make a Beaner reference or anything?
Yeah, no, something about a taco.
Okay. Anyways, I've only got a little bit up here for Digital Dojo tonight. First one up is, this is just a fun website we found, lowendbox.com. This is a website that compares cheap virtual private server hosting, most of them for like less than 10 bucks a month. So if you want to set up your own mega upload, this is the site to go to start setting up accounts.
Yes.
So they've got a bunch of comparisons. They've got a bunch of searches. Right now, the admin's got a big post up about how he's tired of running the site, and he's turning it over to someone else, so maybe it'll get updated. But, it looks like just a catalog of VPS hosting companies. And, you know, you can search them by, like, what their virtualization service is, what their bandwidth is, pricing. It's pretty interesting if you're looking to set up hosting for your own, you know, mega upload clone. So.
We call it load up mega.
Yeah, we call it getting loaded. And so. And then the other thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight is... This is cool. This is from H Online. They have relaunched a pin compatible 6502 microprocessor.
I want
the 6502 processor from the 70s is alive again. And it's a 40-pin chip in dual inline packaging, and it's not an embedded core. It's 8-bit, and it's been modernized by Western Digital Center, and it's available from Mouser in the UK for about €5. Its full number, the new version of it, is W65C02S6TPG-14. Just hit the show notes for the link. It's it is pin and software compatible with the original 6502, which means if you're trying to resurrect old Commodores and Apples and other things that use that, you can just pop it in the socket. It's actually supposed to be faster than the original ones, too, so I'm wondering about ordering one of these new 6502s, because it's €5, so what, about $8?
Yeah.
$9, something like that. I don't remember the conversion rate. I know it's all over the place, but
they'll probably charge you $10.99,
and then whatever shipping is. But
$73 for shipping.
Unlike the old ones, these ones can actually go up to 14 megahertz. So I'm wondering how hard would it be to get one of these and then swap out the crystal on a C64 and overclock the shit out of that thing. I got a C64 going at 14 megahertz. I don't know how well that would work, but geez. Actually, that probably wouldn't work that well, because I'm pretty sure the video sync hardware and that is like tied to the clock speed. So I don't think your TV could keep up, but it would be interesting.
Fuck 14 megahertz. No, no, no. We're going to go to like 20.
We're going to water cool the Commodore 64 and get it up to, 15 megahertz.
It's going to rival my calculator.
Well, the cool thing is, though, the 6502, there, in all seriousness, there's a ton of information out there that's all, just posted. It's all just open and in the clear, and tons of code and tons of applications. So by popping out a 6502 that's pin compatible with the old one, you're not talking about just resurrecting old machines. You're talking about being able to design new machines around low computing power, but just, computing power in general, like microprocessors. Like, think of an Arduino, except with Commodore BASIC.
That's fucking awesome.
That's my thinking right now. So I see this thing being used a lot. And I'm wondering how much of this is... I'm wondering if this thing was resurrected for maybe industrial equipment that needs it. Because they still make 486s for keeping a lot of industrial controllers going.
Yeah, yeah. It's like for my dynamometer, I have to have a machine running XP.
You have to have a very specific set of hardware to make it work.
Yeah, yeah. I lost a hard drive, and I found someone that still made a Quantum Fireball, because that was on the recommended, or that was on the list of approved hard drives.
Right.
And it was like, holy fuck, it was really fucking expensive.
Yeah, I bet it was.
But it fucking worked. Yeah. And because people like me need latency shit like that, people are going to fucking make it.
Yeah, well, see, now how sad is that? That you had to pay an insane amount of money for a hard drive that if you had bought it when it was new, it would have been like $80.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's the other cool thing about this pin-compatible 6502 is it's €5. That's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a stack of them. I mean, so I'm actually seriously seeing some...
Idea.
Okay.
Beowulf cluster, like 100 of them bastards.
Okay, there was a university that actually did that because they had ordered a crap ton of Commodore 64s to outfit their dorms with, and they never did it. So they had a graduate student do a project there where they invented a serial interface to hook all these things together and did the Beowulf cluster and had roughly the equivalent of a Pentium 4 with like several thousand Commodore 64s. But they were able to heat the dorm for, without using the actual heating system.
Nice.
So I need to find that article again. That was years ago.
I think they were running Windows on it.
No, I think that was a comparison they did, but they might have. I don't know, because they did time slicing and distributed it out on a Commodore cluster. But I tell you that's the other thing though too is if you're trying to learn about computers, picking up the old systems, especially like the 6502 based systems, like the old Apples, the old Commodores, that's how you learn it, because those things are so close to the metal, you have to know how they work to get them to do cool shit. That way when you move on to the bigger stuff, you know, yeah, it's all, you know what's going on, even though it's got the pretty GUI and the touchscreen interfaces and yada, yada, yada. So.
See, yeah, my question is one of those 6502s, I think I have more computing power in one of the switches I have here.
You probably do. I've got a Cisco switch. It's got a 486 processor in it, which means that Cisco switch has more power in it than that 6502.
Well, that means that switch has more power in it than the space shuttle.
That's true. That's true, now that I think about it. But
the space shuttles are mothballed. Everything has more power than that.
Yeah, I think the space shuttle ran like the equivalent of like an 8088.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's true, because I remember reading somewhere that the laptops the astronauts are bringing with them couldn't interface with it because they were too fast.
Yeah.
So that's just funny. But I just think it's awesome that they're resurrecting these things, because you know there's got to be stacks of these old computers that use the 6502 that are just sitting around with a bad processor in them, you know, like on eBay as, you know, listed as four parts. And oh, now you can fix these things and get them going again.
Well, see, they only used the 6502 in everything.
Yeah, around the time that was the chip. That was the Pentium of its day. Well, actually, that did better than the Pentium, didn't it? Now that I think about it. I mean, that was the chip. It was in everything.
Yeah, because it was in the Apples. It was in a bunch of it was in the Commodores. It was in a bunch of industrial hardware. Because I think it was because no one else really made a chip.
Well, they did, but it was more like you needed, you had the chip, and then you had the five or six chips that went with it, and they all had to work together, and you had to have all the glue logic. The 6502 was one of the first ones where the glue logic, was more componentized. It was glue logic to get it to the memory, and glue logic to get it to your coprocessor for video or whatever it was. The sound one's the one I'm thinking of. But
the mass coprocessor.
That was a 486 thing.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that wasn't
I thought they were running those before.
Well, they've always had different chips for doing different functions.
Like
when you say math coprocessor, I specifically think of the little add-on chip for the 486s.
Yeah, and those were fun.
Yeah, like the Cerex chips and stuff like that.
I remember getting all excited when mine came in the mail.
Yeah, and it didn't even make the machine feel that much faster, now that I think about it.
No, it didn't, but mine came with a little disc that had it showed that the math coprocessor, they're like, this is what it does. And you put the disc in, and all it did is draw fractals, which was really fucking cool.
Nice. Well, you had games you could play now. You games that wouldn't play without the coprocessor, so that was handy. So, anyways, that's all I've got. Obviously, listen to the stream. We've been doing some programming work on there. I think that's going to get updated soon. I have nothing every Saturday. The next Pure Decking on Thursdays. IHaveNothing.org has been updating with word based I have nothing content
with stuff.
Yeah, stuff content. My God.
Yeah.
And of course, always the Galaxy 15 Radio site and Twitter handle, so you can follow everything we do. Anybody else have shit they wish to pimp?
Yes. Keep listening for a new Resurrected Between the Sheets. We don't know if it's going to be by that name or not.
So you're taking the concept of Between the Sheets, running with it, and you may change the name to make it your own.
Yes.
Awesome.
And call in if we can get it working.
Yeah, we've had calls for call-in shows. I've had a couple now of people wanting in on
And I shows. Swear, if you call and troll, I'm just going to let the desperate one handle you. That's all I have to say.
Well, we RU was doing that call-in show, and he took a break from it. I don't know if he's bringing it back or not. So
I know RU was working on another show. I don't know if it's going to be call-in or if it's just the stories he was talking about.
Yeah. So we'll keep that open. We obviously, we enjoy the call-ins, but I'm not set up for doing it right now.
So the switchboard you were talking about, you're just going to be holding up a mic to a speaker, right, and just playing
it fuck
over
yeah.
it?
Yeah, something like that. Sure, why not?
That's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll happen. To do it, the way I do, the way I have the audio set up, if I want to do a call-in show, I've got to add another computer to this setup. So, I got to figure out how the hell RU is doing his, because it was a different setup.
Just don't do a call-in show.
Yeah, that's been the solution so far, hasn't it? So
no, fuck that. I want to do a call-in show.
Well, then you'll just have to solve that problem or have RU set up.
Yeah.
Or hold a microphone to a different computer.
So, anyways.
That's how I can do it.
Yeah. Anyways, though. All right, guys. That's all I've got. Time to play us out.